Hey, I'm Jennifer Hurwitz, and welcome to Doing Relationships Right. Raw, authentic, and insightful, this podcast is a no-bullshit look at all things relationships. The good, the not-so-good, and the what-the-hell-was-that. No worries, I've gotcha, and we'll figure it all out together without taking ourselves too seriously here on Doing Relationships Right. Are you frustrated with online dating? Confused by all the new apps and fancy dating sites? Do you find yourself choosing the wrong person again and again? Well, studies show that hiring a dating coach can maximize your online dating experience. So no worries, I've got you. And I've created a virtual course called Doing Dating Right. It's a 5-video series that you can complete at your own pace in your own space, right at home. How to write your online dating bio, pick that perfect picture, and so much more. Want more info? Go to my website at jenniferhurwitz.com. Again, it's jenniferhurwitz.com. Good morning, good morning. This is Doing Relationships Right, and I'm Jennifer Hurwitz. I'm your host every Tuesday and Friday, but this is Tuesday. Look at this beautiful woman, if you can see her in my podcast studio today, and if you can hear, this is Sadie
so
Marie. Hi,
here.
Sadie. Hi, hi,
hi. Hi, Julie. Jennifer.
Let's do this.
Love.
So damn excited. We're just going to jump right in. Okay, so I've got this sexy lady with me today, and she's all fired up, and I'm all fired up because this is my friend, and I can say she's my friend because she is. Sadie Marie is the host of the Sadie Marie. It's Sadie's Divorced and Happy podcast.
It sure is. All the delicious fun life after divorce. So much delicious fun. But you know that.
So delicious. I do. I know all about your deliciousness. So listeners, you're in for such a treat today because we're going to talk about all kinds of fabulous, sexy fun. And Sadie, I'm going to let you talk because my listeners are sick of me. They're like, Jennifer, shut it. But we're going to talk about something, lots of stuff. First of all, I want to touch on a couple things so we can talk about this. Tell me your backstory. Tell me how you started. How did this podcast come from? Where did it come from? How did it burst into fabulousness? And touch on some things for me later. Ethical non-monogamy.
ENM. But
we'll go there. It has an acronym.
Wheelhouse, girl.
Wait, it has an acronym?
Sure does.
Oh my God, I love that. Okay, so tell me, Sadie, how do we start? Where do we come from?
Well, I'd love to talk about my honeymoon stage when started my act two. So in midlife, I started an act two. I left a marriage and I focused a lot on myself, which was a brand new thing for me. And part of that was understanding that I really like sex, like a lot, like a lot,
it.
A lot.
I
with
love
myself,
it.
With others. And my opinion on sex really shifted because I was raised, I don't know about you, but I was raised to be a really good girl. My dad is a retired minister. I know the backstory goes way back, Jennifer.
I didn't know that.
I know. Lutheran, ELCA. So, and I lived in a small town and I was, you know, watched all eyes on me, right? Being the minister's daughter in a small town. So I was conditioned to be very good, especially around sexuality.
Okay.
And I can honestly say that I did not start really fully understanding what sex could be like until I was about 46 years old. I know. Oh, it's so true.
And you know, but I think this is like the perfect coming out for you because sex positivity like is all the rage right now.
It is. And I love it because if I would have been given that gift as a girl by culture years ago, what would my experiences be like now around relationships? Sex is such a huge, as you know, being an expert in this field, sex is such a huge component in a healthy relationship.
Absolutely.
And if you don't have a healthy sexual identity, that is a huge barrier to connecting with someone, especially a man who has been given so much permission from culture to be a sexual being. And so has really evolved that part of himself, right? Which I'm happy about. That's fantastic. So for me, having this act two and having the freedom to explore my sexuality has been such a gift. I mean, can you just see my energy?
I'm like, yes, I love it.
Yes.
I love it. And that's why I love you. I think we connect on that level. So yes, I love it. Okay, so you started the keep going.
So that sexual renaissance really sparked something in me where I wanted to talk about this topic, this hot, juicy topic. I like to say burning, you know, burning questions, burning topics. So I love talking about this with my girlfriends, and I have started informally what I call a sex club. In fact, my sex club met on Monday, and it's such a great space because, you know, women, we get a book and we talk about the book and that's, you know, fun bonding experience, but we don't really tap into things like sexuality. I don't think as women in groups,
right,
where we can really freely talk about it without judgment.
Agree. And you know, what's funny to me, and I was going to tell you this the other day, is that when I was married, we used to get together and talk about sex, about the sex we didn't have.
Right.
We used to talk
and
about
complain
the negative stuff, like, oh my God, he didn't make me come, or oh my God, it was like, you know, I was so bored. It was
so boring. It is right.
Do you understand? I was like, oh my God, it's been six. But then, and then also, like, I feel like everyone was lying about it. Like the girls who were like, oh my God, I have it all the time. We have sex at 5 times a week. I'm like, you're a lying bitch. You're lying. Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't try to look too back on my marriage in the sense of like, what if I would have been more, but now it's like, wow, I have this awareness. I have this appreciation for this part of myself that I am freedom. And so it's fun to share it with other women. And I think that the more we have these types of conversations and normalize it, and sex positivity is wanting that, right?
Amazing.
Being a sexual person is a positive thing. Just like being emotionally in tune with yourself is clearly a very positive thing. And you look at men and their experiences, and this is one thing I've learned on my podcast, and I'll go back to what initiated the podcast, but what I've really learned is that men in midlife are really wanting to become more emotionally available, you know, and we as society need to give them spaces. Like I have my sex club, so it's my free, you know, my safe space. I have my podcast. I go on other podcasts. I talk about my sexual renaissance all the time.
I love it.
Because I want to normalize it. Like this is normal, being a sexual being. So yes.
I have a question for you before I'm interrupting you, because here's my thing. So do you feel like I feel like women don't judge. Some women judge other women, but I feel like, do you think that men judge us too? Because I feel like sometimes men judge me less than other women when I say I'm sex positive and I talk about my sexuality. How do we stop that, in your opinion? Talking about it
well,
more?
Well, it's conversations like this.
Absolutely.
It's organizing what I call a sex club, which is something that I want to bring out more into the world and for my listeners to participate in. So that's something I'd love to talk about a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's just having these candid conversations and just owning it and showing that joy around it and comfort. Okay. I think also just recognizing that women, there are, you know, a lot of women have been sexually assaulted. I have not been. And so that isn't my experience. And that, you know, and having that sensitivity that had I been, maybe that I'd have a different journey. So it's having that sensitivity and also having that safe space.
Okay.
So I think that all those things help women and men in relationship move forward to more positivity in general.
Okay, so go back. I keep interrupting you because I have so many things to ask you. Okay, so the podcast came about.
Yeah, so I just felt so much joy, happiness, freedom after divorce. It wasn't like it was all, you know, a walk in the park. I clearly have had my grief. I've done my work. I've seen my therapist. I continue to see a therapist. All those things just to continue to grow me as a human. But what was the message that I want to put out to the world is that life after divorce, you know, there's so much positivity. There's so much possibility. There's so much new things to learn. I've met so many cool people like you. I never would have met you.
I know,
right? I've been missing out had I never, you know, started an act two, a new chapter in my life and started a new thing where I put myself out there through a podcast, telling my story, inviting others to do the same. And, you know, that's what my divorce has given me. And just a better understanding of myself through that process is that I have a voice and I want to share my story. And, you know, our stories are interconnected, but they're still our individual stories, but we can learn from each other. And we find these common themes, like around sexuality, like around emotional intimacy, like around how we want to date now in midlife or what we want from a relationship that's different than in our 20s, especially, you know, what we want in relationship with ourselves. And I'm sure with your listener, you talk a lot about knowing self. You have to know yourself well first, right? Obviously, you know this, in order to have a positive relationship with a significant other. So I'm still on that journey, which is why I'm still ethically non-monogamous.
Okay,
and
explain. Look at that
because
segue.
I'm still learning about myself.
Okay, can you tell that you're a podcaster? I love having podcasters on because it was just that beautiful segue that you just did for me right into the...
I know.
Because I just was like, oh, look at you. Everyone listened to this. You're just a fantastic guest and podcaster. So ethical monogamy. I can't even say it.
ENM, ethical non-monogamy. So it just rolls off my
tongue
because I've been saying it for 3 years now,
right,
Jennifer.
So here's the thing. I don't know if I explain first of all to my listener what it is, and then I'm going to say, I don't know if I believe in it or if I don't.
Okay.
Do I?
Sure.
I'm not sure. You tell
me. We'll find out.
Let's
do it. Find
out
right now. Here we go.
I'm not sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So ethical non-monogamy is when an individual like myself chooses to date knowing that I am not at this time seeking a monogamous relationship. I think oftentimes people go into dating because, which is great, they're seeking a monogamous relationship. They want to have that type of dynamic in their life. I right now am not seeking that. So I feel ethically when I'm dating, I need to share, like, I'm ethically non-monogamous. I'm dating other people. Right now I'm dating to just have new experiences, to learn more about myself. Dating has taught me so much about myself. And I don't want to set someone down the wrong path, because I am the type of person where I will meet you and be like, well, what do you think about that? Well, how, and someone will engage with me right away, and they might feel close. And I divulge things appropriately. I'm all about appropriate, disclosure, healthy disclosure.
Yep.
But I am a curious person, and I ask the deeper questions, and that can lead to people feeling more intimate, more close to you, right? When you ask kind of beyond the surface.
Right.
So I also like to kind of set the stage where I am a curious person. I want to get to know you, but you're not the only person I'm getting to know.
Right.
And you should know that, so that maybe if you don't want to get to know me in the same way, you can choose otherwise.
I love this. Okay. So I have so many questions for you. So basically you're doing exactly what I tell my clients. I tell my clients when they go on date number one, date whatever, to explain, to put it out there exactly what you expect out of your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I just say it the opposite. So because most of my clients are looking for a relationship.
Monogamy.
Mm-hmm. So they say on their first date, look, I'm looking for a relationship. If you're not interested.
I need to clarify something.
Please.
I am looking for relationships.
Okay.
I'm just not looking for monogamy.
Okay. So we're talking about sex specifically. No,
I want intimacy. I want emotional connection.
No, I'm talking. Okay. So you want emotional connection, but you want it with more than one person.
Correct. I want more than one relationship simultaneously.
Okay. So so you do actually want the entire relationship, not just, okay. So let me ask questions because I'm confused. So you want to have sex and the relationship, but just with more than one person.
Correct.
Okay. So
that doesn't mean there's ethical non-monogamy. This is where it gets a little interesting.
Yes,
I did an episode about this called Beyond Monogamy on my
podcast.
Yeah, I think it's episode number 9. And I did it with a dating coach, Mr. Lucario, and he's very candid. So there's ethical non-monogamy. That's stepping. So there's ethical non-monogamy.
Okay.
There's polyamory.
Right. What's the difference?
Sure. So ethical non-monogamy is more, I'm dating not necessarily to seek love, but I am dating to get to know people, to get to know myself, to have new experiences.
I see.
Maybe that will lead to love. I'm open to that.
Okay.
I'm not anti-love.
I see.
But I'm not just on this traditional monogamous path.
Okay.
Right?
So what if you did find love?
Yeah. And you can find love in polyamory. So polyamory is more, I have more than one loving partner. I have maybe a primary partner, and then I have a secondary partner, and we have a loving relationship.
Yes.
We have emotional intimacy. We're clearly sexually connected. It's not just, sometimes people have open marriages and they're just emotionally monogamous. Like I just did another podcast. I was a guest, and that couple, they're swingers and they're emotionally monogamous, right? They don't have emotional intimacy with others, but they have sexual intimacy with others as a couple. So, it's just what's fascinating.
It's
I knew nothing about this when I was like mayor. I'm like, what's kink? What's
right? It's also interesting to me.
Because it's fascinating, right?
It's so
many choices.
Well, because I'm such a jealous bitch that I'm sorry, but if someone else, I'd be like, get the, I think you have to know who you are.
Oh, you have to be really strong in yourself. That's one thing this journey has taught me, because I have partners and they are we're ethically non-monogamous. And I've learned through this experience, because I've tried a bunch of things. Like I used to be like, oh, tell me about who you're dating. And I want to and then I'm like, okay, I don't really want to know. I don't want to know.
So
now I'm like, I don't need to know.
No.
I already know. So I don't need to know.
No, you don't. I'd be like, la, 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 la.
Right. Like, I have a great imagination, so I got it. Have fun. Work it out.
Okay, but questions for you. So that's my question exactly. So what happens? What happens when, do you ever get to the point where you're like, I just want to be with you and I don't want, what happens then? If co-parenting during a pandemic taught us anything, it's that you need proof your kids are safe. With alcohol abuse on the rise, many co-parents are turning to the no-nonsense system committed to providing proof, protection, and peace of mind. SoberLink's alcohol monitoring system is the most convenient, reliable, and reasonable way for a parent to provide evidence that they are not drinking during parenting time. SoberLink's real-time alerts make it easy to negotiate with any party. Judges rest assured that the child is safe, attorneys get court-admissible evidence of sobriety, and both parents have empowerment and peace of mind. Do divorce right and trust the experts in remote alcohol monitoring technology to keep your kids safe, happy, and well-adjusted. To download the guide, 5 Non-Negotiables for Embracing a New Normal that I developed with SoberLink, visit www.soberlink.com/DRR.
Well, I haven't quite gotten to that place yet. I have gotten to a place where I really like someone, and that's been like a new thing for me. I'm like, ooh, I really like this person. But that's more about, I need to work out things in me. Cause if I have like my insecurities or my inability to maybe to communicate something. And so I see it like, okay, I have this great opportunity to practice with this person. We're on the same path. We're kind of looking for the same things in the sense where we're not really ready to have a committed monogamous relationship, but we still want to connect, have meaningful connection, great sex, great conversation. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I so love for this me, episode. It's like, I have this opportunity to grow as a human, you know, without needing you to be A, B, or C, you know, like, I think for me, before I can get back into a monogamous relationship, I'm just going to own it. I need to learn to have like a lot of comfort with myself and really fulfill myself in ways that maybe I wasn't as good at when I was married or in other monogamous relationships and needing the other to do things that maybe weren't fair. That I needed to have those fulfillments through other people or through other experiences, through myself. And so I've just learned until I have like this really strong comfort with myself. And it's, I'm growing, girl, over here in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm like listening to this. I'm like, I'm thinking about some clients right now that I think this would work beautifully for.
Yeah, because not everybody's ready for monogamy. And then they sabotage it because they're really not ready, right? Where if you have this freedom to be like, right now I'm ethically non-monogamous, I'm choosing to learn a lot about myself. I want great connection. Like you can have those things in ethically non-monogamous relationships. It's not just about
my head is
swearing on the show. You're swearing.
Of course I'm swearing. Yeah, what do you mean?
It's not just about fucking, right? Like it's way beyond that. Yeah. I'm way beyond that stage. Like that was like my first season after
divorce. Of course, that was everyone's.
Yeah,
I mean, that was everyone's. I'm like, let's go.
Tramp stamp on us and bust out into the bars. So, you know, I had a great time doing that, but that's not my lifestyle.
Okay, I have a question. You're going to think I'm crazy right now because, of course, I know you. Yeah. Did you ever think about doing coaching on this? Because I think you'd be fantastic. Because I'm sitting here going,
ethical non-monogamy.
I think you'd be amazing. Because I'm sitting here going,
well,
I planted
the seed right today.
I just did. I do this quite often. People come on my podcast, and during the show, I actually make a career for them. Because I seriously, this is what you know me. This is what I do.
I know you are very good at being in the moment, thinking of big ideas.
But I'm telling you, because I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. I had no idea. I thought this was something totally different before we started this show.
Truly,
and now that honestly, I look at my face. I'm not lying. Had no clue. I thought it was something like you just like slept with a bunch of. I had no idea.
This
is honestly when I'm thinking about it in my head. I'm like, if everyone, I'm so happy about this podcast right now. When we hang up this thing, I'm gonna like freak out because I think everyone needs to know what you're saying and understand it.
Yes.
And if you coached people, I think that I have like clients that I'm thinking right now that would really do. Like even if you came out of a really long-term like relationship and you weren't ready to date again, not even just a divorce, like I'm talking like a 2-year relationship.
Oh yeah. Any relationship. Right. Right. When it ends.
This would be fantastic. This is what people need before they jump into another relationship.
Yes. Because if I was to do that, the same thing would just happen to me. Right. It's already happening to me in the relationships I've been in ethically non-monogamously. Right.
Right?
So it's just, I mean, so I have to keep, I will know like when I have that security, like when I'm not getting a text and I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm good. And I'm not like,
I could never do that. I'd be like, where's the text?
Yes, see? And I've learned about like avoidant attachment styles.
That's what I'm gonna say. It's avoidant attachment style.
Yeah. Right. And so I'm like, okay, right now this is about me. This has nothing to do with this person.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to own my stuff and I'm going to do my self-care and I'm going to journal and I'm going to reach out to a friend and I'm going to take care of myself because there's something in me that's needing something and I can fulfill it for myself through the network I've created, through my own you know, creative mind, through my knowledge that I've learned through therapy. Like, I think we limit what we can do for ourselves in so many ways. And ethical non-monogamy has taught me I don't have to limit myself and I don't have to limit someone else.
My face is like, my mouth is like on the floor.
It's very empowering, honestly. It's almost, I learned so much by choosing this path, honestly.
It's almost like helping you create a secure attachment style.
Yes. And that's, isn't that the goal? So that, yes, when I have someday, if I do ever, who knows, I'm open, have a monogamous relationship, it'll be very different. It'll
because
be
you'll already different. Know how to be, you'll have a secure attachment style.
Yes.
You'll know how to like self-soothe.
Yes.
You won't,
yes,
need someone else to make you happy because you're already going
to
be content.
I need someone to be like constantly reassuring me that they're not going to abandon me, that they're not going to disappear. And even if they do disappear, I'll be okay because I've got my back, right?
I'm obsessed with this right now.
Good.
Okay. I have I'm like so quiet right now because I'm
not. Do I get to tell the backstory of my podcast? Or did I already do that?
Yes, did you? Did you start? We have to.
Well, okay. I just want to say,
yes,
after
please.
after any relationship, you have a choice to invest into yourself, as you know this.
Yes, of course.
Or to, again, try and get those needs met from someone else.
Right.
So what I have chosen to do more than not, I would say, is invest into myself. And so I had what I call the honeymoon stage after my relationship where, you know, everything was just more exciting and delicious and colorful and magical. And that's because I was coming more into myself. And I recently stumbled upon a quote, and I love this quote. And the quote is this: the more that you find purpose in your life, the less you need pleasure, right? So let's sit with that around dating. If we are constantly using dating for pleasure and relationships for pleasure, maybe we need to do some internal work around, well, maybe I need to find more purpose in my life. Because I have found so much more purpose in my life this last year by doing my podcasting. And finally, thank God, my business came back because during COVID, I'm a photographer and like everything was shut down. So that was a huge part of my identity and that was totally taken away from me. So during COVID, I just went down this dark rabbit hole of like dating. And like had this bench of guys and like I just was so needy of that. I'm like, wow, that was really an unhealthy attachment, anxious.
Yeah.
Part of me out, right? And I, now I know that. So I don't choose to do that. I'm not dating to be validated. I'm not dating so that my ego can be like, you're a good person. You're pretty, you're sexy, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so what I now understand about ethical non-monogamy, about my honeymoon stage, like all of these choices are so that I can get to that secure place in my attachment so that I can, if I choose, if the universe allows it, have maybe a more traditional monogamous relationship, or maybe I'll just choose to continue to have like a more polyamorous mindset.
Sure.
I mean, I think there's that openness, right? When we're open in general in life to receive, I think that's where we really find the magic. Okay. Then where we're like on a mission.
Which so many of my clients
are. Knowing you.
So many of my clients are.
Has reminded me that where you're like, you know, just show up. Just do it.
Just do it. Just
show, don't think about all the, because I'm like details. Because that's just how I, as an artist, I see all the details.
Yeah,
but sometimes I just need to do this shit.
Just show up and do it.
Just show up. Because 90% of life is showing up.
Agreed.
Don't you think?
Yes. And I have a question that's been driving me nuts.
Okay.
So when you, if you don't mind Nancy, this.
Yeah,
so when you are, I can't even say it, in that, what is it?
Ethical non-monogamy.
Thank you. So when you're looking, is this like it's something that you like, let's say you're on match.com. Do you say it when you
have? Never used it in my life, but sure.
Okay.
But, oh yeah, I put it on my bio.
Okay, you put it in your bio. So like, how does someone like, let's say I wanted a client to start doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a website? Is there a match.com for this? Is there like a dating app for this? I mean, how do you?
Well, OkCupid is more open to it. They do actually have options on OkCupid where you can check ethically non-monogamous, open relationship.
And people
but I think,
need
you
to
know,
understand.
I've used historically all the apps and I just find that if I put ENM,
people know,
you know, ENM ask, that type of thing,
okay.
Because, you know, there's a continuum to things, right? Like everybody, just because you identify as ethically non-monogamous doesn't mean that it's not a one size fits all type of disclaimer.
No.
So I try to explain, yeah, I'm ethically non-monogamous, but I still want connection. I'm still looking for relationships. I'm not just looking for sex buddies.
Right. Because that's what I thought it was.
No.
So I'm so glad I did this. And I'm so glad I asked because it is so much better. It's so much, it's fantastic what you're explaining.
Right. Right. I think, you know, I've been on this journey for 3 years now. And I think what I have learned, because I am a deep person. I you know, shallow conversation, I don't have time for it. So how can I date shallowy? Yeah, I can't do that, right?
Superficially.
No, thank you. Thank you for helping me with my grammar. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can't do that. I've just learned about myself. I can't do that for a long-term deal. So I have to, and relationships in general have depth and stimulation beyond sexual. So ethical non-monogamy works for me as long as I own that and put that out to people. And if they're not looking for that, then they'll go away. And if they're cool with that, they'll stick around.
Yeah, I love it. And that goes with anything. Don't you think? Oh, yeah. I mean, if someone doesn't want a relationship, they don't stick around either.
Correct. So it's traditional, like, monogamous,
right,
relationship.
Exactly.
I think
exactly.
What we need to stop saying is that if you're ethically non-monogamous, you're not having relationships.
Absolutely. So I just screwed that up. I just fucked that up right there. Okay.
Yeah,
so
it's like, if you're, there's a, yeah, I think that that's one way we limit that experience, is that we just assume it's about hooking up, and it's not.
Yes.
It's not. So we need to stop saying, if you're looking for a relationship, I'm looking for relationships, just not one solo.
You like relationships.
Correct. I desire deep relationships.
Oh my gosh. This is the best episode ever. Ever.
You're going to have so much juicy content for your
God. I'm so excited.
I'm sending, hear how they respond.
No, I'm sending them to you. You have a new job now. Now we're going to have to work on this, Miss Sadie. That's okay. All there is to it. Because I really feel like this is something for you.
Oh, I have a lot of passion around it. Especially for women, because women, okay. I did an episode, you know, Coach T. Anthony.
Love him. He's coming on my show next 2 weeks.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. I had him on my show, and the episode was called Dating Like a Dude. And, you know, and we kind of played on it a little bit.
I think I heard it. I listened to it.
The whole idea is that you can just have a more light, free, playful entry into relationships, you know, kind of go with the flow like guys do. I mean,
women can't do that.
Fun, but we can if we practice it.
Why can't we?
But we can if we can do anything if you do it. Repetition is key in life. You can learn any new skill if you just do it over and over and over again.
I just want to squeeze some of my clients and be like,
just change your mindset.
Like, girls, come on.
They need to flip it. They need to, like, what are you needing right now?
Yes.
Where you need this so much from someone else. Because really, it's about you. And until you figure it out, you are going to repeat the same thing.
Absolutely.
Again. And you know that.
Of course.
And it's just like, you just finally accept it. It's like, okay, I surrender. I surrender on my ethically non-monogamous journey. I'm going to do the work. Thank you.
I'm calling Sadie. She knows her shit.
I do.
I know you do.
This has
been the most, like, eye-opening episode. I mean, I have a lot of guests. You know, this is fantastic. I'm so happy you're here.
Good. I feel good. I mean, we know each other, so that
helps. Yeah, it's fabulous. But did I do what I was supposed to do for you? Can we talk about, so the podcast, everyone, so listen to me, listener and listeners, everybody who was out there, or one person, whatever. Listen to Sadie's Divorced and Happy podcast, please.
Yes, because again, it has a spicy, out of the box, playful tone around life after relationships. Yes. Whether you've been divorced or you've been in a long-term relationship, I have lots of married listeners.
Yeah.
They love my podcast because it reminds them of their own journey with relationships, sexuality, emotional intimacy, you know, an array of other topics. I don't just talk about these topics, although I have a lot of passion around them. So yes, it is a breezy, fun journey when you, every Thursday, join me. I drop new content every Thursday.
Sadie's and your Instagram page,
feed. Yeah, you can find my Instagram page, which I have a lot of fun with. I'm having more fun with these reels, Jennifer. Thanks
I know.
For inspiration.
The reels.
And the carousels.
The carousels.
The carousels. So you can find me on Instagram at Sadie's Divorced and Happy. You can also find me on Facebook at Sadie's Divorced and Happy. And of course, I have a website, divorcedandhappy.net, where you can find all of my episodes for free if you don't want to subscribe to something.
And everything's going to be in the show notes.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yes, everything's going to be in the show notes. And your website's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes. So, Miss Thing, we're going to go because I can't keep you forever. I think, we did perfect timing here, per usual. I loved having you. Everything's going to be in the show notes. Do you have a little nugget? Do me a favor. Say that one quote you said before one more time. The quote for me. What was it?
When we find purpose, We need less pleasure.
That's right.
So if you are using dating as entertainment, solely for entertainment or pleasure, you need to just kind of check in, like, where can I find more purpose in my life? Where can I find more connection that's going to enrich my life and give me more purpose so that I'm not constantly seeking that out, that pleasure out in dating? And I think we can do that so easily. And I did that. I have absolutely done that. And I own that. And it didn't fulfill me, Jennifer.
It didn't fulfill me. I did the same exact thing.
So.
Yep, I did too. Girl, I loved having you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Okay, y'all, you know where to find me. JenniferHurwitz.com. It's easy. Just me with .com. And do something fabulous this week for yourself. And, you know, go check out the Ethical Non-Monogamy. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
That's what you can do. Check it out, E&M. Check it out and see what it's all about. And as usual, you guys, peace, love, and so much truth. Thank you for being here. And we'll see you next week on Doing Relationships Right. Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to Doing Relationships Right. Don't forget, if you love the show, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast episodes. And grab my books, One Happy Divorce and Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda, on Amazon, Target.com, or my website, JenniferHurwitz.com. As usual, thanks for listening and see you next week. Peace, love, and truth.